Blog Talk Radio.
Let's dance in style, let's dance for a while. Heaven can wait, we're only watching the skies. Hoping for the best, but expecting the worst. Are you gonna drop the bomb or not? Let us die young or let us live forever. We don't have the power, but we never say never. Sitting in a sandpit, life is a short trip. The music's for the sad man. Forever young, I wanna be forever young. Do you really want to live forever?
Hey, may the best of yesterday be the worst of your tomorrow. But we ain't even thinking that far. You know what I mean? So we living life like a video. Where the sun is always out and you never get old. And the champagne's always cold and the music's always good. And the pretty girls just happen to stop by in the hood. And they hop their pretty ass up on the hood of that pretty ass car without a wrinkle in today. Cause there's no tomorrow, just a picture perfect day that lasts a whole lifetime. And it never ends, and so we have to do it if you want. Let's stay in the moment, smoke some weed, drink some wine. Reminisce, talk some shit, forever young is in your mind. Leave them off, they can't erase, neither space nor time. So when the director yells cut, I'll be fine. I'm forever young.
Forever young, I wanna be forever young. Do you really want to live forever? Forever, never.
Been not much while we're alive. Life is for living, I live in a fight. See it somewhere up in the sky. Then I die, I'll be alive for a million years. Bye bye, so not for legends, I'm forever young. My name shall survive. Through the darkest blocks of a kitchen, souls of a pirate plot. My name shall be passed down to generations while debating up in barbershops. Young slung, hung here, showed it a nigga from here. With a little ambition, just what we can become here. And as the father passed the story down to his son's ears. Younger kids, younger every year, yeah. So if you love me, baby, this is how you let me know. Don't ever let me go, that's how you let me know, baby.
Forever young, I wanna be forever young. Do you really want to live forever? Forever and ever.
Let it run. Slamming Bentley doors, hopping out of Porsche, popping up on Forbes list, gorgeous. Hold up, niggas started lost. They be talking bullshit, I be talking more shit. They nauseous. Hold up, I'll be here forever. You know I'm on my fall shit. I ain't with foreclosure, I will never forfeit. Less than four bars. Google bring the chorus in. Did you get the picture yet? I'm painting you a portrait of young.
Forever young, I wanna be forever young.
Forever young.
Do you really want to live forever? Forever, forever young.
Apparently I let that go a little too long. Hey everybody, good evening. Welcome to Black Freethinkers Radio. You're tuned in to On Blast with Vita Star. I'm your host, Vita Star, along with my co-host, Bruce Smith from realityisreal.com. What's up, Bruce? Uh-oh, I think I forgot to unmute him. He's talking, but I can't hear him.
There, yeah, there we-
It would probably help to unmute me. You know, I think I could help a lot more, but I just want to say that, you know, any hand signals I threw up on my Instagram, not gang signs. I don't want you to let me go or anything like that. So just wanted to clear the air on that. Not gang affiliated.
All right, Deshaun Jackson. What we're going to do tonight is talking about what it's like being a young adult in America today. Do we have the same options and opportunities of our elders in regards to family planning, income, employment, and lifestyle? What are some of the benefits and challenges of being a young adult today? We're going to talk about all that and more. And, of course, in between all my segments, I got to play some hip-hop. And a little bit later, we got some hot topic headlines for you. So just sit back and join us. If you want to call in for the news topics, you are free to do that. The call-in number is 310-982-4273. If you want to. If you don't want to, that's cool, too. It looks like somebody did call in. I call it 202. I'll tell you what. We'll get to you during the news segment. I don't want to bring them in right now. I think I know who that is. 202. That's DC, right, Bruce?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So I might have somewhat of inkling of who that is. Well, at any rate, I got some Rhapsody for you. So I'm gonna play some Rhapsody Destiny, and then we'll go right into our hot topic headlines.
I wanna meet Jay and just play a rhyme for him. I see him spitting Heineken like girl rhyme again. Saying you're inspiring, the blue ivy in him.
Take it back like hockey jersey, guest jeans and butter Tim's.
Jehovah's Witness, I never had a Christmas. Never really missed it, toys on a wish list. Papa work night shift to make sure my life's lit. Like them trees with them angel wings and some nice gifts. Not a single birthday party with a cake lit. Never had to blow out candles for my wishes. Told anything that I dreamed I could be if I worked at it. Had to put the drive in the automatic. Memories of paramedics up at the crib late. I'm praying her life got me praying for all states. Put some good hands on, I need it for always. And beyond being young, she gotta live to see old age. Hard watching mama sick, it felt like some cold days. I wonder if she started paradise like Coldplay. I know it crossed your mind when your health ain't all great. Fear losing life, I know the feeling too well. Wait, heavy on your mind, I was 6 summers losing weight. Had to be a patient, praying to meditate. Escaping the music, taking far as them Everglades. Red accord riding, memorizing that J.A. Why hyphen, thinking of my life in them future days. All my dreams on my mind, looping on replay like I wanna meet Jay and just play a rhyme for him. I see him spitting Heineken like girl rhyme again. Saying you're inspiring, the blue ivy in them.
Take it back like hockey jersey, guest jeans and butter Tim's.
When I weigh 110, super young thin. When I play ball, I always play JV for the gym. Hustle music for the hustlers, we both rim rock. His and ties, Mari tied, double deuce onslaught. 22 twos, I was 22 in Jersey. Tri-state, high New York City, connected with my jersey. Your girl game tight, you can say I'm J-worthy. That's double entendre flow, I wonder if you heard me. Got diamonds in my hands, we both throwing the rocks up. It's all nets like the senior, yo, shouts to Brooklyn. My sister called me Marcy, this the Marcy Project. Marcy Project's influence, hold a hold on the steps. On the sets of big dreams in Times Square, New York. Rockin' BB Kings with my team, we spinning the force. Snap back to reality, I'm back in the chords. Snap back to reality, recording on boards. It's like, I wanna meet Jay and just play a rhyme for him. I see him spitting Heineken like girl rhyme again. Saying you're inspiring, the blue ivy in them.
Take it back like hockey jersey, guest jeans and butter Tim's.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to On Blast with Vita Star on Black Free Thinkers Radio. Right now, we're going to get into the hot topic headlines. Actually, first, before I do that, let me let you guys know that the chat room is officially open. I forgot to open it up earlier. So if you want to get into the chat room, because people hit me up about it, you just have to refresh. So refresh the page where you have your radio, radio show playing online. And once you refresh it, you can see the chat room. All right? So my bad on that. Shout out to you guys who hit me up and reminded me. So, yeah. All right, let's go ahead and get into the headlines. Bruce, are you introducing these headlines for us?
Yeah, I could do that. All right, so let's go off with the first joint. So first off top, Mozilla's anti-gay CEO steps down after boycotts and protests. So Mozilla's chief executive officer, Brandon Eich, resigned from his post Thursday after an almost two-week-long public backlash against his controversial appointment. Mozilla, which owns the popular web browser Firefox, which most people probably shouldn't be using, just saying, immediately came under fire for promoting Eich, who donated $1,000 to support California's Proposition 8 campaign to ban same-sex marriage in 2008. In a blog post announcing the decision, Mozilla wrote, Mozilla prides itself on being held to a different standard, and this past week we didn't live up to it. We know our people are hurt and angry, and they are right. It's because we haven't stayed true to ourselves. Mozilla believes both in equality and freedom of speech. Equality is necessary for meaningful speech, and you need free speech to fight for equality. Figuring out how to stand for both at the same time can be hard. Our organizational culture reflects diversity and inclusiveness. We welcome contributions from everyone regardless of age, culture, ethnicity, gender, gender identity, language, race, sexual orientation, geographical location, and religious views. Mozilla supports equality for all. Since his March 25 appointment, the internet company has faced a number of boycotts and protests. Earlier this week, OkCupid hurdled access to its site in the Firefox browser, urging users to choose another browser and not support Mozilla products. Rebuilt app developer Hampton Caitlin pulled his projects from Mozilla, sparking a public outcry for Eich's resignation. Three of Mozilla's board executives have also stepped down in the 2 weeks Eich has been CEO.
Wow.
So the thing is, to go forward, Eich said in interviews and really statements, asserting that as CEO, he was committed to making Mozilla welcoming to the LGBT community and that his personal beliefs were divorced from his professional duties. Eich has also refused to say whether he would donate to similar campaigns in the future. None of his public statements touched on marriage equality or delved into his specific views. So, it's tricky because, I mean, it's what Mozilla is saying. It's sort of, it sounds contradictory.
Okay. I have something I want to say about something specific he said that kind of stuck out to me that seemed like it contradicted itself. Well, it didn't make sense to me. And I'll just say that.
Well, I'll let you go first, and then I'll go.
Okay. Well, this is what stuck out for me. He says Mozilla believes both in equality and freedom of speech. Equality is necessary for meaningful speech, and you need free speech to fight for equality. Figuring out how to stand for both at the same time can be hard. Now, that, I don't know, that stuck out to me. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I feel like you can't really say you're for equality and then say that you don't know how to fight for both freedom of speech and equality. It just sounds weird to me.
But see, this is the thing. That's coming from the company. The Mozilla wrote,
this is what the
article says, announcing the decision. And see, that's where my problem lies, because it's like they say they're for equality and freedom of speech. And I understand that's why they're saying it can be hard, but, I mean, the ballot was up for vote. No matter how you feel specifically, this guy essentially lost his job because how he voted. Now, I may think that his views are wrong, but, I mean, I voted for Barack, so am I saying people who disagree with that decision should lose their job? It's shaky.
Well,
to me. I honestly have an issue with that.
To be fair, he stepped down, though, right?
You know how that goes. When there's public outcry and then the person conveniently steps down,
that's asked
to leave, you know.
That's true.
And I just, I mean,
But at the same time, the same way he exercised his freedom to do what he wanted, the people who were at the table with him were free to do what they wanted, meaning they were free to, resign. people who, like, you know, websites like OkCupid or whoever else, whatever other company has the right to encourage their users to not use that browser. The people who were, you know, who did stop using their browser because of it, they were all exercising their right to free speech. And they were all, I mean, that's all they, nobody attacked him. Nobody, you know, bullied him. And that's, I mean, maybe behind closed doors, maybe. I can't say that didn't happen. But as far as, you know, what we see, the people had the right to say something. Like, hey, we're not cool with working with someone who, you know, doesn't believe in marriage equality for whatever, or not even just doesn't believe in it, supported it financially. We take issue with that, and I don't want to work with someone like that. People have that right to do that.
I don't know. This is getting, because the man donated $1,000 to support Prop 8. He shouldn't be employed in that position. Like, I mean, because
nope.
We disagree with his views.
I mean, this is the thing. But this is the thing. The people who sat at that table, because everyone didn't resign, so there were obviously some people who didn't feel convicted in that at all. They were cool with it. Or they felt like how you feel. Like, well, you know, he did something I don't agree with, but, you know, I don't care if he's, you know, CEO. I'm cool with him being CEO. Whereas other people have the absolute right to say they don't want to work with that person. Even if you think their reasoning is fucked up, even if you disagree with their reasoning, even if you do, you have to admit they exercise their own right to free speech, just like he did.
I just don't like the where that's going, because then what if, you know, somebody supports women's rights, and then, you know, there's a movement amongst people who are against women's rights. As far as life, pro-life, pro-choice, you know, what if there's a movement of those people to have that person removed from their position? Because,
but no,
you know,
one had,
because for
so
religion.
Who had him removed? This is my question. Who had the public pressure
clearly is the reason why he conveniently stepped down.
I mean, let's not act like
OkCupid and these other companies.
I agree with that. But how is what they did wrong? If they don't agree with him and what in him being CEO, that's their feeling. They, whether or not you agree with their reasoning, the point is they feel like he shouldn't be there, and they did something in protest, and it was their right to do so.
I don't know. I just don't like the slippery slope this goes down, because then it's like, you know, I don't know. It seems really iffy.
I hear what you're saying.
They support freedom of speech. They support freedom of speech, but now because you donated $1,000 to this campaign, we really think you ought to step down, player. Like, that's not supporting freedom of speech. I hear
what you're saying. I hear you. I'm not even disagreeing with you, but I'm just presenting the other side of this. I'm really just trying to get you to see no one did anything wrong. Everyone exercised their right. So that's what I'm saying. I hear what you're saying. People lose their jobs.
I'm just saying.
I get that.
Freedom of speech goes two ways.
It would be different if we said we should change the law so people like that should be persecuted. Yeah, you know, that's a problem. I hear you on, you know, I would feel you.
But
yeah, that's, you don't want a policy that says people can't have their own beliefs and be CEOs. If this was a person who was in a job position and their boss came down and fired them, yes, that would be wrong. I feel you on that.
Hello?
But we know the protest is behind this.
If OkCupid doesn't agree with them, they should have just said, you know what, fine, we're cool with it. Even if they don't agree, even if they feel some type of way about it, that they don't have the right to do what they did.
I mean, they could have donated.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. This is business, though, and I think that often.
Wait a minute.
When it comes to issues of free speech.
Wait a minute. Curtis just jumped in. Hold on. Let me introduce you. You just jumped in. Nobody knows who you are.
Oh, my bad. I was just listening. My bad.
How about you introduce? Say your name. Introduce yourself. Say your name and where you're from. So then go ahead and jump in with your opinion.
Hey guys, my name is Curtis. I'm from Cincinnati. And the main point I wanted to make is that oftentimes when it comes to matters of free speech and the consequences of said speech, people tend to confound what it's okay. When they say free speech, that means something very specific from government's perspective, and it means something else from when it comes to individuals and corporations really are individuals, right? So you can be fired for anything that they feel like is not in line with how they want to be perceived because you represent the company, right? It's just like the same thing. It kind of reminds me of the Doug Dynasty thing, right? When A&E rid of, what's his name, was saying those ignorant comments, I completely disagree with doing that. And the reason why I disagree with that is because I don't think anybody should ever be censored, ever. You know what I'm saying? If they say something, then they have the right to say it, but no one has a right to a specific consequence for that action. So if you say the wrong thing at work and they fire you, that's well in their rights to do that.
I'm saying because you
signed on to represent the company. Like when you sign that paperwork, you are an agent of the company now.
I understand that, but my issue is I think we just have to consider that, yeah, that's perfectly fine when your opinion is the popular and viewed to be right opinion. We have to understand that these same situations are in turn flipped, and there are other situations where, you know, we as a people are pressured because we don't represent the popular opinion, and things that we stand behind or things that we are attached to aren't as mainstream as some people would like it to be. So I just I try to ease off of things even when I clearly disagree, because there's going to be times where, you know, I may feel a certain way, and I may feel that way because where I come from and my beliefs and things of that nature, and if it's not mainstream America's opinion, and mainstream America is normally not us, then I may have to deal with certain issues because of that. So
that's true, but, you know, before a company, though. You know what I'm saying? You deliberately signed up for this company under the pretense that you agreed with their company's morals, values, and precepts. If they find out, in fact, that you don't agree with them, that's a different story, is it not?
So
you can believe whatever you want
on
your own time, though.
It is, but the thing is, you know, he was. It's politics. He's like, so can a company then in turn say, okay, well, you didn't support Barack, so we don't think you should be in charge. I heard he voted Republican. I'm not in favor of that. I mean,
I don't agree with it from an ethical perspective, but I can understand.
Okay, we have to move on to the next one. I'm sorry, because this really is an interesting point, an interesting topic.
Good. It's a good topic.
And I know that there are, you know, points that we want to bring in. And I'm sure there are other points that we didn't get a chance to bring in, because I have some of my own. But in the chat room, Claudia says, freedom of speech does not equal funding efforts and policies that limit other people's rights. And that's in the chat room. Bruce, you want to give us the next one?
So we're going to go with study shows 1 in 3 American children have high cholesterol. So it deals with, you know, current students and what we eat. One of the largest studies of its kind finds that nearly 1 in 3 American children between the ages of 9 and 11 has either high cholesterol or borderline high cholesterol, raising their risk for developing cardiovascular diseases later in life and underscoring the need to screen kids' cholesterol levels. Researchers with the Texas Children's Hospital analyzed data from 12,712 pediatric medical records and found that a full 30% of these children had elevated cholesterol levels. Boys were more likely to have higher levels of harmful cholesterol than girls, and obese children were also more likely to have higher cholesterol. The young age at which these children are forming high cholesterol levels is concerning because it could lead to heart conditions later on in life. For instance, atherosclerosis, a hardening of the arteries, has been found to take root at a young age among certain patients. We know that higher levels of and cumulative exposure to high cholesterol is associated with the development and severity of atherosclerosis, said lead study author Dr. Thomas Siri. if we can identify and work to lower cholesterol in children, we can potentially make a positive impact by stalling vascular changes and reducing the chance of future disease. The high cholesterol levels are even more dangerous for children with obesity, although a recent report indicated that childhood obesity rates dropped significantly over the last decade. Some experts have suggested that the findings are overblown and pointed out that overall American obesity rates remain quite high. The study authors say their findings underscore the need for screening children's cholesterol as a preventative measure and emphasize that healthy diet and exercise are the two best ways for children to preserve their heart health. Kids need to have their cholesterol panel checked at some point during this time frame, 9 to 11 years old, said Siri. In doing so, it presents the perfect opportunity for clinicians and parents to discuss the importance of healthy lifestyle choices on cardiovascular health. Our findings give a compelling reason to screen all kids' blood cholesterol.
See,
so one
of
the things, go ahead.
I'm gonna just give my comment on that. It bugs me that I get that they do need to screen all kids for blood cholesterol, and this is a strong argument for making sure that all children are getting screened, because a lot of them they don't screen you for that until a lot later. So I do think that's important, but that's not a solution. Like, this is a public health concern. 30% of these kids in their study had high cholesterol. That's a pretty high number for children. Like, what the fuck are kids eating? You know?
Well,
kids are eating
the same things adults are eating. And
exactly.
Like you said earlier, all of America is having these issues. It's not just the children.
But it's concerning because if you have these kids having high cholesterol now, that definitely increases the number of people who are going to suffer from heart disease later. You're definitely
which affects the healthcare system. Which that's the reason we can't have universal healthcare.
But you know what? Prevention is an important part of that. But, I mean, what I'm saying here is that this should be an indicator amongst all the other indicators, including high obesity rates, including high heart disease rates, including high diabetes rates. You know, including all those other numbers. You know, in America, as far as a larger population, including that, let's factor in the fact that we have these children eating this garbage. There's something wrong with the food. That's just what it is. We have entirely too much garbage. We have entirely too many fast food.
People live a sedentary lifestyle, too.
What'd you say?
People aren't nowhere near as active as they used to be, either, with the ability to buy more calories on a decreased amount of money, like, you know, so it's a
right.
You know, it's a lot of things. Not to mention what goes into processed foods. Like, it's a whole list of things. We're not even gonna get into corn subsidies either. It's a lot. You know what I mean? So,
no, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Bruce, you want to get to the next one before we have to transition?
All right, I'm going to skip to this one. Black Twitter schools Marie Claire on cornrows. All right, I had to go here because I have a serious issue with this, other than just the obvious issue that everybody else has. So Marie Claire got a lesson in hair today via Black Twitter, and I'll speak on that later. Earlier this afternoon, the fashion magazine tweeted a photo of Kendall Jenner supporting a few cornrows on the side of her head. And there's a picture of Kendall Jenner. You'd think the person behind Marie Claire's Twitter account had never seen cornrows until a young member of the Kardashian clan sported them. Or maybe they actually think the ilk who think Bo Derek invented this hairstyle. So there's a picture of Kendall Jenner, one of the Kardashians. I don't keep up with them. And it says, Kendall Jenner takes bold braids to a new epic level. So, yeah, in true comedy fashion, Black Twitter read the magazine its version of the Riot Act. So there's a bunch of tweets from these people who are in Black Twitter, and they're stating their opinion. So I'll just read a couple of them. Preston Mitchum says, thanks to Marie Claire and Kendall Jenner for inventing bold braids. I have never seen these before in my entire life. #groundbreaking. So then let's skip to another one. Builds the fire. White girl braids part of her hair, and Marie Claire claims she took braids to a whole new level. Fights air. And so then Marie Claire goes on to apologize. Then from their Twitter, they said, we didn't mean to offend or imply that cornrows were new. Our tweet was poorly worded. Then they said, we thought her hair looked great and recognized women have been styling their hair like this for ages. So.
Okay.
First of all, yeah, it was definitely stupid. Like, it was definitely a stupid, like, you know, thing to say for her hairstyle. But I have a major problem with this whole Black Twitter thing.
Okay, Before you get into your Black Twitter rant, let's talk about what happened first.
Okay.
So let's talk about that first. So the thing that makes this funny to me, outside of it being a part of Black Twitter, this is something that Bruce has an issue with, as you can probably. My issue with it was, well, I thought it was funny. Because it wasn't, I wasn't angry or anything like that. I was just like, really? Y'all still doing this shit? It's 2014. Y'all still doing this shit? Come on. Like, come on. That's what I was thinking. And when I started to see the memes and the pictures and all of that, I thought most of them were really funny. Because they clown the shit out of Marie Claire. And this has happened before. Like, this isn't the first time some white woman was sported doing something that Black women have been doing forever. That's not the first time that happened. And so I thought it was funny to have a social media forum where you could, you know, you can do that now. They do that shit in magazines all the time. That's how Bo Derek got credited for those damn cornrows in the first place. So the fact that now we have social media, when they try to pull a Bo Derek on us, we can nip that shit in the bud, or people can, you know? So I thought that was interesting. Bruce, you want to go ahead?
Well, just to stay on the subject before I go off, realistically, who's reading Marie Claire? I know I'm a male, but I've never heard of this shit. So, like, clearly,
it's a top magazine, Bruce. It's a top.
Among who?
Yeah, it is.
Among who?
It's like a
sizable portion of the U.S. population.
Sizable portion of the U.S. population is white. If they got Kendall Jenner in there, like, I'm not interested. Like, so, like, of course they're backwards and don't know what they're talking about. I'm not really surprised.
I didn't even take it like that, personally. I thought the lady was, when I first saw it, I thought it was journalistic hyperbole. I didn't even get that notion from that one thing, that one sentence, that's what she was trying to do the first time I saw it.
My first reaction wasn't mine when I saw it.
Like, when you say epic new height, I thought that it was hyperbole. I didn't think she lit it. When I read that, I didn't get all. I literally think that this is new. Hard time believing a journalist of any race and of any kind with Google in 2014 aren't aware of hairstyles. I just didn't, like, the it could be true. It could be. But what's likely? And I didn't think that that was likely. So I didn't react that way the first time I saw it.
You gave her the benefit of the doubt, and you were like, can't nobody just be this dumb. That's what it sounded like you're saying.
Even the wording, when I looked at the wording, I didn't even think that the wording implied that. Like, I thought it was hyperbole. Like, I didn't think that she was saying, like, oh, this shit just came out, this bitch got it. I didn't think that she said it like that, you know,
And that's the thing. And see, that speaks to my problem with Black Twitter, because, no, that's not what you felt, because Black Twitter said that that's what she meant. So, and it's like this whole label of Black Twitter. Like, I'm sorry.
First of all, I didn't even see – all I saw was the Marie Claire. Somebody had just retweeted the Marie Claire picture. I didn't even know that people had went in on it. And so, actually, I went on Facebook.
I didn't see the tweet either.
I saw the tweet. I saw the actual tweet. I didn't even know it was an issue on Black Twitter or anything yet. I saw it, and then I posted it in my natural hair group in my Facebook. And then somebody was like, we're already talking about it because Black Twitter went in on it like 2-3 hours ago. And I didn't even know. I was late, basically, on Twitter, and that's how I ended up running across the actual picture. So I didn't know. So I actually literally thought these people can't be serious. I didn't even think, I didn't even know other people felt the same way yet until I put it in the natural hair group. Then I saw the memes and stuff.
Right.
But see, now you look on websites, and this is like, I've seen this story multiple times, and all of them say Black Twitter spoke out against it. Like, yo, I'm on Twitter, and I'm Black, and them folks don't speak for me. So, I like, the whole label of Black Twitter, like, you know what I'm saying? So now every time something happens, and I
don't know. I feel like that's I feel like you have to be an idiot to assume that Black Twitter encompasses all Black people and all Black
What do you even need a label of Black Twitter for?
I think it was
want to be individual when we want to be offended, and we want to be a monolith when it suits us. Like, we want to be an ant colony on one hand, and then we want to be individuals. We're like, oh, well, no, don't stereotype me. We're not really all the same thing. Like, you know, it's confusing as fuck to people who aren't Black. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, and it's like, I just don't like the label. Because first of all, I mean, from what I've seen, from when I came across a dumbass article explaining who's a part of Black Twitter, I'll just say I don't mess with a lot of those people. I'm not going to say anything more specific than that.
I don't even know. You know what's crazy? I don't even know who's in Black Twitter. Only person I know of is one person, and that's because she was on Melissa Harris Perry talking about the Trayvon Martin situation
and the jurors' book.
I don't remember.
Did she claim it? Did she claim Black Twitter?
I don't remember. To be honest with you, to be honest, I really don't remember if she said it, but I also read articles online about her and that. So when you went to look up the story about the jurors' book deal, that story came up. So I already saw her on Melissa Harris Perry, but I'm looking up the book deal story, and then she comes up, and that's already, and in those articles, Black Twitter was mentioned. So that's why that's the only person I actually know. I have no clue who's considered to be in Black Twitter. I hope you weren't claiming that.
You're in Black Twitter whether you like it or not, and that's the problem. Like,
if you are Black, you're in Black Twitter. And that's what I was thinking. Another thing, so it's like if I go on and
like
do
a
something,
black hole.
And then I tweet something, are people going to be like, yeah, he's in Black Twitter? Because I don't remember pledging. I just don't. And I just think it's pretty
corny,
especially considering the people
honestly,
who they say who are in
it. Maybe I'm not that clear on what Black Twitter is. Once I even first heard of it, which was actually around that Trayvon Martin story and the book jurors book deal story, that's how I even heard of Black Twitter. And that's how I even Googled to try to figure out what it was, and it just happened to be like a story on it or something.
If you're Black and you're on Twitter, you're out of Black Twitter.
I might be following some of these people and don't even realize it. You know,
we must not have been invited to the Black Twitter Illuminati party. Apparently, we need to sacrifice somebody so we can find out.
All right,
but
you guys.
On the other
all
side
right,
of the
guys.
Coin, it's a good thing too. So,
well, I mean, I think that juror losing her book deal was a good thing. If that's considered Black Twitter, you're right, Bruce. I don't know if she identified it as Black Twitter, but I thought that was interesting. But at any rate, you guys, we have to move on because we have a ton of articles. We went through three. I think we just talk a lot, Bruce. What do you think?
I have a tendency to do that. My apologies. Next time I'm on radio, I won't talk as much.
Whatever. That's part of the reason why I think we're doing radio, because we like to run our mouths.
Exactly.
At any rate. Yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I think I'm in the right field for that. All right, we're going to go ahead and move on to the next segment. We're going to talk to some people who were nice enough and great enough and cool enough and dope enough to open up and share their stories with us. So we're going to have some little mini interviews and some conversations. We're going to talk about what it's like to be a young adult in the U.S. today. I hope you guys are enjoying the show thus far. I worked really hard on this show, and I'm just really tired. But at any rate, I'm trying to see what should I play to transition us. How about some Lupe Fiasco? Y'all like Lupe?
Always dope.
Always dope.
Can't lose with Lupe.
I was throwing some Lupe Fiasco around my way. Freedom ain't free.
Yeah, yeah. Great American rap, rest in rap. Rest in peace, young ass. Pour live on the live band. Pour live on the deck. Yeah.
First off, stay deep, the pine red. Name it all the damage that the white man wine did. Ghost dance, sell his tears 5 million years a year. And all that other crime did. More people. The blind kids, the red bells and small cells keeping their mind big. Say everything's hostile, suicide bombers and prosperity gospels. Emaciated models with cocaine and blood pouring out their nostrils. They got to, just to stay awake on the catwalk of life where everybody watch you. Straight hair, high heels and a handbag. Crucifix, racism and a land grab. Katrina, FEMA, trailer, human body sandbags. A peace sign and a pants sag. A money toss calls a nine stripper mad dash. A friend request following a hashtag. Now everybody wanted like the last laugh. A Michael Jackson jacket on death mask. Purple shorts on the mixed girl in your math class. Stable as when the bad, bad, bad dad. The corporate jets really had to have that gas band. War and they hope they all fall from the rat attack. Cause that's just more dinosaur for the Cadillac.
Live from the other side, what you see? A bunch of nonsense on my TV. Heaven on earth is what I need. When I feel I'm in hell every time I breathe. Pour live on the outside, what you hear? A bunch of nonsense all in my ear. Rich man, poor man, we all gotta pay. Freedom ain't free, let's ground my way.
Marvel at the state of Harlem, man. Then turn around and treat Ghana like a garbage can. America's the big motherfucking garbage man. If you ain't know, you part and parcel of the problem. You say no, you ain't, and I say yes, you is. Soon as you find out what planned obsolescence is. You say no, they didn't, and I say yes, they did. The definition of unnecessary near. Manifested. Say that we should protest just to get arrested. That goes against all my hustling ethics. A bunch of jail rippers say it's highly ineffective. Depart from Martin, connect on Malcolm X. Insert ball when the similar to separate. To me, the truth is more fulfilling than the method of finding really fast internet to have some sex with. It's all one song short of a set list. Couple croissants shy of a continental breakfast. Of blowing out your birthday candles just to make a death wish. So absurd word, the cheap bone necklace. Down at the Lakota to casino. A whole culture boiled down to giving you Pacino. I go with left with the heart and the chest. Cause the horn of Africa is now starving to death.
Live from the other side, what you see? A bunch of nonsense on my TV. Heaven on earth is what I need. When I feel I'm in hell every time I breathe. Pour live on the other side, what you hear? A bunch of nonsense all in my ear. Rich man, poor man, we all gotta pay. Freedom ain't free, let's ground my way.
And all white Los Angeles, the dream of Mr. Hope and pray they take Columbus Day up off the calendar. South Central, an example of God's gift. So shout out to all the mothers raising babies in spot six. The projects of Oakland City, Detroit, ghost towns. Monopolies on poverty where D-Boy coke bound. Parts of Manila like the video for Thriller. But the U.S. Embassy is reminiscent of a villa. If poverty is chocolate and privilege vanilla, then what's the flavor of the Sunday preacher's pedophilia? Cash rules everything around these. And classrooms everywhere around me wither. Hither you can be Mr. Burns and Mr. Smithers. The tyrant or the slave, but nowhere in the middle of the extremes of America's dream. Freud, fight Neo, Freddy Cougar, referee, man.
Live on the other side, what you see? A bunch of nonsense on my TV. Heaven on earth is what I need. When I feel I'm in hell every time I breathe. Pour live on the other side, what you hear? A bunch of nonsense all in my ear. Rich man, poor man, we all gotta pay. Freedom ain't free, but it's round my way.
Great American, rap reserve.
To On Blast with Vita Star here on Black Free Thinkers Radio. We are about to get into our main topic, and we have some guests who are calling in to discuss this topic with us. I invited some young adults in for this show. We're going to call young adults 18 to 35, and there's a reason for that. And you will, we'll call them. We have young adults, and we got slightly seasoned young adults. We'll call it the 30 to 35. I mean, they're seasoned young adults. But at the same time, a lot of under 35-year-olds are still dealing with some of the same issues. So at any rate, I got some people here for you who you know, have various backgrounds and experiences growing up and various backgrounds and experiences, you know, now. So I'm going to go ahead and bring those people in. From the 626, who do we have? Your area code is 626. Say your name.
Oh, do I just say something into the phone?
Yeah. Say your name.
Hi, I'm Claudia.
Claudia. Hi, Claudia. Welcome to On Blast with Vita Star.
Hi.
You sound so nervous. Relax. How about you relax, Claudia?
Yeah, because I didn't want to interrupt anybody while I was talking, you know, because it's rude.
You were muted. Don't worry. I had unmuted Curtis earlier, and you're nervous because you heard me get on Curtis for talking. No, I had a little early. So don't relax,
okay.
Claudia. Don't laugh, Bruce. She's not scared of me. You're not scared of me, right, Claudia?
No.
That's what I was laughing at, the thought of anybody being scared of you, but, you know, just saying.
Whatever. You know I'm a D. He's hating Claudia because I'm a D. He's scared of me. Yes, that's what it is. Also, from the 202, state your name and where you're calling from.
Yo, Steve Vasquez from L.A., but I went to school in D.C.
You're in L.A., but what?
I went to school in D.C.
Oh, you're explaining your 202 area code.
The 202 thing, yeah.
Just to make sure we know, you're from L.A., though.
Born and raised.
You represent, that's what's up.
Born and raised.
All right. You know, I'm glad you guys are on, and I'm glad. Thank you guys for volunteering to be on the show. Let's start off with some basic things so people can kind of, you know who you guys are. Steve, if you don't mind, you know, what's your age? How old are you, and what do you do?
All right, Steve Vasquez. I am 28 years old. I work at a nonprofit, and I own a film production and music licensing business.
All right, and you said you went to college in D.C. Where'd you go to school?
Hello?
Yeah, you said
Hello?
You went to college in D.C.
Yeah, I went to Howard.
Howard alum, what year did you graduate?
2009.
All right, I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about that, about your college experience in a little bit. All right, let's get Claudia. Claudia, how old are you, first of all?
I'm 19. I'll be turning 20 in like a week or two, ish. Two weeks. 18th.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, happy early birthday.
Happy
Thank
early
you.
Birthday.
Congratulations on that.
Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
Being 1 year closer to actually being able to do some fun shit.
Yeah.
I know. I've been meaning to go to this. There's like a lesbian, what's it called? It's a bar in West Hollywood. I've been really wanting to go, but I can't. So, you know.
You can't go to any bar. You're under 21.
A famous quote from Beyonce. Once you turn 21, you'll be able to vote. So it's all good.
He said that? He did
yeah.
not say
yeah.
that.
Yes, she did when she turned 21.
No, she did not.
Yes, she did when she turned 21. I'm that serious.
I like Beyonce. Don't tell me stuff like that. I don't like that. Claudia, what do you do? Do you do anything?
What do you mean?
Are you in school? Do you have a job? What do you do?
Well, I'm in school, and I do have a work-study job on campus. Where I solicit donations from alumni, so and parents sometimes, so that's always fun.
You're one of them.
Cool.
You're that person.
Yeah.
You're like that person that harasses me every fucking year to donate. I'm like, y'all been getting enough of my money already? Apparently, all the money I spent ain't enough. I'm saying, y'all charging $40,000 a year, but you want to call me? And I got so many complaints. It actually feeds right into the discussion. I say, y'all, all this damn money. You got the nerve to hit me up asking for money, and I got a degree, but I can get a job that pays me $30,000 a year.
Man.
You gonna tell me you gonna hit me up for some money? You got a lot of fucking nerve. Don't take this personally, Claudia.
No, it's not me. I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you. Go get the money from those athletes that you. Don't call me. You don't you guys make enough money off sports? No.
I actually think that's where the money goes. Yeah, I actually think that's where the money goes. Is a lot of times athletes get like full scholarships. So I think a lot of the money goes there too.
It doesn't go to paying them clearly.
Yeah. Right.
Clearly.
Right.
I'm just saying, the school has no problem making money off of them. You know, let's just keep it all the way real. But at any rate, Claudia, so you're a student at what school do you go to?
I go to Syracuse University, but I grew up 20 minutes from downtown LA, so like San Gabriel.
You're
but like
cold.
Not the nice parts. Yeah, so I'm
cold.
Here and it's freezing. Yeah. I mean,
So you came from the San Gabriel Valley. The valley's hot. You went from the valley to the fucking freezing cold.
Yeah. And you know, we have an ongoing joke, or I have an ongoing joke with myself, where I talk about like whenever somebody asks me like, "Oh, why'd you come here and stuff?" I would be like, "Oh, because I didn't know there was that much snow," and snow would be like a metaphor for like white people. So.
Yeah, don't let the Syracuse basketball team fool you.
That's a good joke. Wait, that's a joke with yourself. You don't. I'll be turning out with every person of color on my campus.
Yeah. Sometimes I share another joke too. Like when we cross the street and stuff. Like the white man tells you when to walk. Like the. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So let me ask you this, Claudia. You know, you transitioned from being a high school student, and I actually knew you back then. In fact, I even remember when you were telling me you were going to Syracuse. And
you gave me pointers.
You know, I probably did. I have a habit of doing that. Whenever any youth tell me they're going to college, I just give them like a ton of advice. And it's funny because everyone always remembers them, every time.
Yeah. You have memorable advice.
But at any rate, you really remember your transition. You're closer to it than I am. My transition was a lot longer than yours, much further back. So you can remember your transition much clearly. What would you say was the biggest surprise that you got when you moved out of the house, you went to Syracuse, and you were on your own, and you realized you were on your own? What was one of the biggest surprises for you?
What do you mean?
What was your biggest shock? Like, there's always some type of shock, right? I know the cold weather for sure was a shock. You had a sort of a culture shock even.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I wonder if that shock was just like how different the framework in university was from like a lot of the organizing spaces that I came from. I realized that that's something that's very specific to me and kind of the culture and the people that I grew up around. But I think one really, really big freeing moment that I guess was a shock to me was when I got to go to CVS and I got to buy my own shampoo. Like, that was a shock for me. It's like, I have to pay for my own toiletries now. And it was both, you know?
You gotta buy shit.
That's a
yeah.
Tough thing to do, right?
You don't just walk in the bathroom and, oh, there's shampoo. They don't work like that anymore.
Yeah. But for me,
or, like, put it on
the
shopping
thing,
list, right?
You know? Yeah. But it was exciting because I never – oh, it was exciting? Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, I was just saying you don't get to put it on your mom's shopping list, you know? Like, you got to put it on your own.
Mom, we need shampoo.
Right.
She's not there.
Right.
That was the
best
part,
Claudia.
Yeah. Oh, no, that was just the best part, like being able to buy my own shampoo, you know? Because I never got to choose, but now that I'm making – I think the shocking moment was, like, when I was working – like when I started getting, when I got a job and I started working and like I started getting in my own income to buy the things that I wanted to buy, and to support the brands that I wanted to support, then I realized how miserable work was and how little I was paid and how there was no, like, yeah, there was no student workers union, you know? Like, I think that's when it hit me that there were a lot of things that were really different here.
So speaking of that, Steve and Claudia, you guys are sort of at two different stages. Because, Claudia, you're just now, you started college, you're 19, you're about to turn 20. But, Steve, you're removed from the college experience. How would you describe transitioning out of the college experience, since we have you here and then also we have Claudia who's going to have to go through this? How would you
right.
describe transitioning from out of the college experience?
Well, you know, honestly, I had kind of a nice buffer coming out of college. So, like, I like to say I went to college 2.0. I taught English in Korea for 2 years. So it was like, you know. Yeah, so
that's quite a buffer,
Yeah, it was a nice buffer. So I had, you know, out of school, I'm like, all right, cool, I'm done. I got my degree. I'm in Asia. Cool. I don't have to pay any bills because they automatically come out of my check, but I still got to buy groceries and, you know, do all that stuff and got to start thinking about what I'm going to do when I get back to the States and all that. But, you know, I mean, the transition was, you know, I think it was a lot the same like what going from high school to college was, right? Except you get more responsibility, you know. So, you know, coming back from Asia, I had to, you know, figure out where I was going to live, what I was going to do. Luckily, you know, I was able to, you know, work for a nonprofit that my family started. So that was kind of cool. But then, like, you know, starting a business and, you know, organizing my partners and, you know, organizing our equipment for what we're gonna shoot and all that stuff. It was, you know, it was definitely a growing experience, a learning experience. And now, what, I've been in it for almost 3 years, and it's, you know, it's been pretty good. Yeah.
That's good. So you said that your family runs a nonprofit?
Yeah. It's called Cooking with Gabby. Actually, Vita, you know about it, right? We've been on your show before.
Yes. Yeah, he's actually been on, Steve and Gabby, his sister, they've actually been on my show in L.A., KTFK. So, yeah.
Right.
Great organization.
Yes.
Great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But, yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, just, like, transitioning, like, you know, being able to work for the nonprofit and, you know, still, you know, I was teaching, so I was able to still interact with kids, but doing more development and you know, programming and stuff for the charity. It, you know, definitely taught me a lot and definitely allowed me to grow.
How do you view your experience transitioning out of the? Because I mean, you're still in it. You're still fully in it. What are your like visions of leaving that college experience?
I just want to get a job and like, yeah, I don't know.
Wait, Claudia, what if I told you I have bad news? What if I told you I have some bad news?
I would probably believe you.
So, I mean, the fact of the matter is this, a lot of people are graduating now and there aren't jobs for them. I was looking at some now from – where is this from? I could tell you so you guys don't think I'm crazy. It's the – yeah, how about I figure out the name of this organization? The EPI, Economic Policy Institute, okay? They basically said that – this is the class 2012, and keep in mind they're projecting the numbers are higher – are going to be higher in the future. Mm-hmm. Just let them know this. Basically, most of them are coming out of college and not getting jobs. What does it say? The class of, and on top of that, if they get jobs, they're likely to earn less than they would have if they had graduated at a time when there was, when there were jobs. So they just basically, even if you get a job, you're not going to make any money. Does that worry you at all?
I've been bombarded with those jobs, like, you know, aren't they, like, unpaid internships and stuff?
Not always.
Claudia, what field do you plan on going into once you graduate? Just curious.
I don't know. Right now my major is communications and rhetorical studies, and I'm looking at a sociology and African American studies minor. So I don't know where that's going to land me. Yeah.
And you know, I'll be honest, I'm not trying to tell you things are bleak, because you never know where things could take you. I'm not trying to tell people not to have hope. Please don't think that, but I'm telling you.
Well, let me tell you this. The reason I went to school in the reason I went to Korea was because when I graduated in 2009, right? I majored in finance, international business and finance, and I was like, yeah, I want to go work on Wall Street. I want to be an investment banker, all that, right? And
from a family who owns a nonprofit in South Central.
Right.
That just sounds
like I was you know, set on going and working on Wall Street. You know, I was like, I'm gonna make you know, $160,000 a year. You know, coming right out. I just had these delusions of grandeur. I graduate in 2009, and I'm like, shit, there's no job. There's no jobs. What am I gonna do? And you know, the alternative was, it was like, do I go back to L.A. and, you know, do I work for my family? And then it was just like, oh, you know, there's this opportunity in Korea. And I applied, had a job within a month, and I was on a plane, and halfway through, I'm in the bathroom, like, about to throw up, because I'm like, what did I just sign myself over to? Ended up having the best 2 years of my life, but it was definitely, like, it set my life on a completely different path, you know? And honestly, I think I'm far more happy doing what I have a passion for now. But I had to find that passion. And it took me.
And I
want to
talk about that.
Deviating.
And I want to really focus on that too, because that's another point that I think is really important. Even though our generation may have some bleak outcomes, like for example, I'll read some statistics and I'm going to go back to my original point. But, you know, it says of all those who graduated college since 2006, only 51% currently have a full-time job, according to a Rutgers University study. 11% are unemployed or not working at all. The situation is even more dire for those who have graduated since 2009. Fewer than half of college graduates in those years found their first job within 12 months of graduating, much less than the 73% of those who graduated from 2006 to 2008. Those who graduated since 2009 are three times more likely to not have found a full-time job than those from the classes of 2006 through 2008. And I'm class of 07, by the way. At any rate, I just wanted to kind of point out that even though these are the numbers, at the same time, we're young adults in a technology age. We're young adults where we can actually, you know, seek other ways of being artistic and making money off of it. We do have that access to be entrepreneurs in various ways, or access to information. Steve, you said you also own a business. Tell us a little bit about your business and, you know, and how you operate it.
So, I'll just give you the background. So one of my best friends, you know, since we were in high school, and, you know, now business partner. When I moved back from Korea, you know, he'd been trying to get me to come back, and I moved back, and I didn't even plan on staying, but I ended up falling in love with the nonprofit work. He's like, Steve, you know, there's these opportunities here. Like, you know, why don't we start this business? And I was like, all right, cool. So we spent, you know, we started doing music licensing, and the company's called Convergence Media Group. And, you know, we spent 6 months cold calling and just, like, just going through this, like, just crazy process of trying to get our foot in the door with all these supervisors. And fast forward to, you know, 8 months down the road, we ended up having some success in that. And then we started getting into production, which is what both of our passion had always been. So we end up doing, producing, you know, now we produce music videos, films, feature films and short films and web series. And you know, but the journey, like, if I had never gone to Asia, I would have never discovered that I'm actually good at production, producing, and, you know, starting to really transition into more cinematography. But I would have never found that if I had, you know, been an investment banker. So, so yeah,
right.
That's what we do.
But even with that, because you've come at a time when, you know, you have access to certain technology to help you do that.
Right.
And for a much lower cost than it would have our parents. What's the guy's name who wrote The Spook Who Sat by the Door? Bruce, do you know that book?
I don't even remember the author either. Off the top of my head.
I want to say Robert Greenlee. I want to say that's his name, and I should probably Google this since I have access to the internet talking about access as a technology. I believe it's Robert Greenlee. Well, the author of that book, he also made his own movie about his book, which is hella dope, and it's from the 1970s. Sam Greenlee. Okay, I don't know where I got Robert from. So at any rate, he made this film based off of his book. And he was saying how much money it cost him in an interview. He was saying, nowadays, you can make movies on your phone. He said, as much as it cost me to make my movie, you can make a much better movie for a lot less. And I thought that was interesting. So, you see, you know, with this technology coming at this time and having that type of access, you are, instead of that lane, if that lane isn't there for you, that job isn't there for you, you can create your own.
Yeah, well, there's definitely, you know, definitely to make something, you can definitely make something, but to make something look good, it does take a lot of hard work. You know, don't get me wrong, there's still the you still need to know what you're doing, but technology makes it a lot easier to learn that, but to you know, mechanically achieve that. But it still does take a lot of practice, as with anything, I guess, you know. But, yeah, I'll definitely say, like,
basically, you still have to have talent. You can't just hop up and do some shit. That's what you're trying
to
say.
Right. But I will also say this. So there are, like, so many ways just online that you can make money, too, as you know, someone who's trying to be a young entrepreneur. I've got a friend who owns a gym in South Carolina, but he travels the world, and the way he actually funds his life is he teaches for 2 hours every morning on this website called, I think it's called italki.com. And he teaches for 2 hours every morning, like 6 days a week. And then he rents his place out on his, whenever he's gone, he's out of town, he rents it out over Airbnb. And that's how he funds these extravagant trips around the world where he's like, you know, in, you know, Chile, like one week, and then he's, you know, somewhere in Africa, you know, the next week. And it's just like, dude, it's crazy. But the only way he wouldn't be able to do that if it wasn't for the power of technology, the internet, you know.
Definitely. So, Steve, who are some of your inspirations in these projects that you've taken on?
I mean, in terms of like film or music or...
And the music licensing, because I mean, you said your friend told you about the music licensing opportunity, but as far as film, who are your inspirations?
Well, I'll say, you know, people that I work with are some of my biggest inspirations. You know, I've got two of my partners are just amazing cinematographers. I don't know if you know, there's a gentleman named Shay William Vanderport, and he directed the show Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl for the first two seasons. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. He's the director and cinematographer for that. And, you know, he's been just like, I like to say I spent, you know, 2013 in the Shay William Vanderport School of Cinematography, you know, where we were just shooting, like last year we were just constantly filming. You know,
how old is he?
I mean, he's just turned 30.
See?
So I would say, yeah, him, a buddy Duran, my partner Duran, you know, he's also a big inspiration. They both worked on that show. I mean, you know, Spike Jones, I mean, dude's a beast, you know.
Well, no, you can go ahead and finish. Finish your life.
Oh no, I was done. I was done.
I want to get back to Claudia for a second. You are also an activist. That's part of the way I know Claudia, by the way, is through a program called Immediate Justice out in LA. Shout out to Connie Ikeda. She was actually on the last show. So if you want to get more information on Immediate Justice and, you know, and I, which is actually it's a film program for it's for girls, but it's LGBTQ friendly. Well, not friendly, but it is LGBTQ. And it's a great program. They learn how to make their own films. They learn how to be activists with their films, artivists. And they talk about sexual health and promote sexual health and education of sexual health. That's not the usual sexist and homophobic sex education that's taught in the schools now. So Claudia was a part of that program, and that's how I know her. And she's also an activist. And I know, or at least right now, I know you've been working on, you know, participating on campus and things like that. And internet, the technology, and being around this age and being a college student at your age, you can also build social movements. You can also spread information. What are some things that, you know, happen on your campus that you learn about because of it came up online? Like, what are some movements that have taken place?
That's really interesting because I feel like all of the people who have been doing things on the internet who are my friends don't go here. like, you know? So it's like, it's a really interesting place right now. I know a few months back, Sui Park, she's one of my friend's friends. Sui Park and Juliet Shen, who is my friend, they started this hashtag called Not Your Asian Sidekick on Twitter.
Oh,
and,
Sui Park, who was actually in the midst of that whole cancel Colbert controversy situation.
Yeah, that's been a huge.
I follow her on Twitter, too. We follow each other on Twitter. That's the only reason why I know who she is.
Yeah, she's... I think it's definitely really, like, a lot more nuanced than I think a lot of people think. That there's definitely, like, a lot of internal issues going on. So it's been really interesting seeing how, like, how activism plays out online, and especially because I've been hearing about all of my friends kind of using their online. I have, like, very little social media followings. So, like, I went on Twitter and, like, tried to create conflict with other people, and it didn't work. Like, I felt like a flea. Nobody even wanted to respond to me, so it was really sad. Like, I tried really hard.
Oh, Claudia.
But it's okay. But they do use that kind of following, and a lot of my friends have been turning it into kind of like a source of or a living. So a lot of my friends have been trying to get jobs with, like, BuzzFeed, or I had, like, two articles written, or one on the Feminist Wire and then another from, like, I don't remember. But, like, I think my work has been very minimal compared to a lot of my friends who have taken their activism and turned it into, like, talks for with honorariums attached to them, stuff like that. So activism for me has been really hard on my campus just because I'm really interested in doing workshops on campus. I'm interested in developing curriculum because that's what I was doing. I was doing a lot of work with Immediate Justice, and then before I was involved with Immediate Justice, I did a lot of work as a youth trainer. So I developed existing curriculum, and I made it better every year. And then I would go on to facilitate a lot of workshops and conferences also meant for high school youth. So being on campus has been really hard, even when I've been trying to make kind of like a sub-living off of it, or make, like, supplementary income through trying to do workshops on campus or even on other campuses. It's been hard just because it feels like a lot of people don't think I have credibility because I don't have a degree, even though I've been doing this work for several years. Like, I will still hear from staff on campus about how, I could be a good leader if I just did X, Y, and Z, which is really funny because haven't I been doing leadership stuff? Like,
You're making a very interesting point about, because I asked you guys, so I had a rant on Twitter, Facebook yesterday or day before yesterday, and you raised a really good point, just the point of being validated through a degree as an activist, which I find really interesting. Like, I find something really funny about that, you know, that somehow activism is settled on a college campus, or whether or not you have a degree, or whether or not you know these big words. And that was kind of what my rant was about on my Facebook page. Oh, if you want to see that, you got to go to my Facebook page. But but that was kind of what my rant was about. It was the fact that, you know, you have to be identified as a leader through a degree. And how does that – and then just keep in mind, college is getting more expensive. You know, the tuition prices are raised, which is another part of, you know, that affects us as young adults and the future young adults. College tuition is being raised. College loan debt is through the roof. It's ridiculous. Mm. I have some numbers on that. The average debt load for the class of 2012 was $29,000, $29,400. That's just the average. That means that there was some that was a higher. I let y'all know right now, I was 07. Mine was higher than that. And I had a scholarship. And that's with the scholarship. USC is that fucking ridiculous.
And the thing is, there's not really an alternative now anymore, because it's like before, when our parents were coming up, when you finished high school, there was an option to just go into the working world with that job that you would get. You could buy a house and raise your family. Now it's like a college degree is basically required, because if you don't have a college degree, where are you working? And then if you're working in one of those places that doesn't require a college degree, how much are you getting paid? Because we look at how much minimum wage is, and people can't live off that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, and that's a much broader point, you know, because I was going to say, you know, we're saying that people can't lead movements or be activists without a college degree, but motherfuckers can't afford to go,
Or
is it really worth it if you come out with $29,000 in debt, but you still got to work in the fast food industry?
Right. You'll never get yourself out of that. And the degree isn't not paying for itself at that point, you know, and it's like the lie that they told us, you know, like when you're young, everyone's like, you get a degree and you will make a ton of money and you'll have a great job coming right out of college, blah blah blah, you know, like that. I was sold a bill of goods too, you know, we're all sold that bill of goods, and it's unfortunate. I mean, I like my job personally. I have a great job, you know. I'm not making a fortune, but I have a great job. I'm fortunate to have a great job, you know. But not all my friends are that fortunate.
But you know what? Also, I think a lot of us were sold this, you know, which basically kind of what you were saying. Like, we were told that we're going to get out, go to college, you know.
Right.
Especially if you grew up in the hood. You know, you're in the hood, that's what they always tell you. Be one of the ones to go to college. Be one of the ones to go to college. Graduate. And I'll be honest, you know, people have said that their communities have tried to hold them back. My community pushed me into school, and I wasn't even ready. You know, and they took me right into college. And they were very supportive. My entire community was always supportive of me going to college. Even the gangs in my community were supportive of me going to college. And most people don't. That's a whole other conversation I can have about gangs and how, you know, things they do in the community. But at any rate, I was pretty much pushed into school. I was encouraged to go to school, and that was going to be my ticket. You know, my father was in school while he raised us, and his whole idea was that was going to be our ticket out of, you know, out of the poverty that we were in. And that wasn't. Let me just clearly say, you know, I went to school. I studied something I was passionate about. The only way I could actually make any real money in the field that I studied, which was sociology, was if I went on to get a doctorate degree, which would cost me more fucking money, you know?
Right.
I really did want to be a sociological researcher in some way. But that requires, you know, two more degrees that I couldn't afford to get, you know?
Right.
And that's the thing. You're told this is going to be your ticket. Now I have a degree, and I'm working in a field that, you know, the field has nothing to do with my degree. On top of that, let me tell y'all a secret. This isn't really a secret. I say this on my Facebook all the time. I'm very open about it. Also, in addition to doing radio, I also work as a nanny. Guess what? I make way more money as a nanny than I did when I was working in my field in community organizing and social services. I make way more per hour. Way more per hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right. And I mean, granted, you don't get all the other benefits, vacation time, sick time.
but you get to set your own schedule, right? You can leave when you want, right? Mm-hmm. I said you can quit when you want, right? You're not locked in any long-term contract or anything.
That's true. I can quit when I want. I can set my own hours, that kind of thing.
Right.
The thing is, like, I went to school for something. I was told that this was going to be my ticket. And a lot of us were told this is going to be our ticket. I have college loan debt. Where the fuck am I going
right.
to go?
Well, you know, let me.
If I got a good job, I still have this debt hanging over me. How am I going to, I can't buy a house. My credit's fucked because I didn't know they were collecting, they're trying to collect money and they couldn't find me. Long story. But, you know, I'm in a fuck.
But you know what?
Go ahead.
Yeah. Like, I guess I'm interested in the way that we're talking about this as like a dichotomy of like, you either go to college or you don't go to college, you know what I mean? Because a lot of my friends, and by a lot, I mean, like, a few, and once again, like, I also have a very particular type of friend group, so not to be, like, you know?
They're not the general representative. Gotcha.
Yeah, but a lot of my friends, like, okay, some of my friends are leaving school, like, they're just dropping out. Like, my friend dropped out for a year, like, took a break from one of the UCs, and, like, they ended up writing a published book, and then they went back to school for another year and realized it wasn't for them, and then left again. And then so I have a few friends who are just, like, also debating, like, whether or not they should stay in school or, like, and finish out their degree because it's making them miserable, or they should just leave because it's making them miserable. Like, I think it's interesting to kind of also think about that as an alternative to either go to school or don't go to school. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then,
well,
I mean, it's not like they're not successful just because they haven't finished school. And this is a lot different than like hearing about all of these like middle class, upper middle class, like white entrepreneurs who drop out of school to pursue these successful entrepreneurships because they have that like class privilege backing. They have like that old money from their parents, you know, and
right,
generation
right.
past. Yeah. So I don't know. It's really interesting.
Don't get me wrong. I've never one to tell anyone not to go to college because honestly, I think, you know, the debt really sucks, but the benefits of having a degree in this day and age far outweigh, you know,
not having
a degree. Now, whatever path you take to get a degree, cool. And, you know, take time off if you need to, you know, whatever. But, you know, I just think it's really unfortunate that we have to make a choice. Like, all right, you know, because I've been talking to a lot of people who have these, you know, degrees, advanced degrees that are, you know, working as attorneys or, you know, doctors, and they're pulling these crazy, ungodly hours in jobs that they honestly, after a couple of years, just start to hate, you know. But they're making a ton of money. They can't enjoy it, and they hate it. So I think that it's so sad that we have to have as a trade-off, you know, either we have financial security and just complete, utter unhappiness, or happiness and, you know, just this sense of, you know, all right, I'm not achieving what I thought I was going to achieve by that good job, good income, you know, standard of living I was supposed to have when they told me that if you go to college, you'll be able to achieve that, you know?
You know what,
there's a third group.
There's the group of people who say, you know what, I'm already fucked, might as well do what I want. I think I'm
right.
in that category.
Yeah, you know? That's a good category to be in. That's the fun category.
I'm already fucked, you know? If I
yeah.
think I'm a struggle
yeah.
and I'm a go through some shit, I'm going to go through some shit and struggle doing some shit I want to do. I'm just
right.
saying. I have another caller on the line, and I want to get them in. Caller 229, can you state your name and where you're from, please?
This is the conversations from the chat room from Georgia.
Oh, you know what? I'm really bad at looking at the chat room. In fact, I might have accidentally closed the chat room. Oh, no, I didn't.
What's good, Georgia?
My bad.
What's your name?
We're just going to call you Georgia? What are we going to call you?
My name is Reese.
What's
Reese?
Good, Renee?
What's up,
Reese?
Man?
Yeah. What's up?
Hi. You pressed one, so I'm assuming you want to jump in on this. What did you want to say?
Yeah, college, you know, college is one of those, I call it, you know, pretty much these days I feel like it's necessary worthlessness. You know, it's like it's something that you pretty much have to have, but it's not going to give you a leg up. You know what I'm saying? You're kind of only penalized if you don't have it. but it really doesn't give you a leg up anymore.
I definitely could say.
That's a very interesting way to put that. That's very artistic. Are you like a poet or some shit?
No, I'm an actuary.
And it's interesting that you say that, Reese, because the thing is, I work as a freelance journalist, and it doesn't bring in a lot of money, but it brings in some money. And, you know, I work within the journalism field, and I actually never finished getting my degree, but I get paid from journalism. And I know a lot of people who they go to school for journalism, and then they come out of school, and they're working these unpaid internships to try to get on and try to get in somewhere, and they're working and not getting paid for a long time. I mean, I sort of stumbled into journalism while I was going to school for something else. And, you know, I was working so many jobs and stuff, I stepped up away from school for a little bit, and I just got further into journalism. And there's a lot of people who are going to school for journalism coming out with these degrees, and they're unemployed. Or they're working another job doing something else unrelated to the field that they went to school for. Now, when I go to apply for an editor position, then they say, well, you don't have a degree yet. And it's like, well, I've been working in the field of journalism for like 2-3 years now. So so it's like you said, you can be penalized for not having it, but having it alone doesn't guarantee you anything.
Yeah.
And,
I mean,
at this point...
Well, it's the same thing, similar in radio. I don't have a communications degree or a broadcast degree or a journalism degree or any of that shit. I have none of it. I didn't even take a class in any of those things, you know, not even as an elective. Never even seen I don't even know what building that was on the campus. And in radio, there are people who have been interning for a long time, and they have communications degrees. One girl, she's an intern for one of the shows, and I'm a producer. And they have never once asked me for my degree or what it looked like, what school I went to. I don't even think they know I went to school. In fact, one day I wore my USC hoodie, and somebody was like, they said, why do you like the Trojans? Like, they started going on about football. They didn't even, and at that time, I didn't give a shit about football. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You know, a lot of people there. Like I said, there's a girl who's an intern for the show after the show I produced for, and she has a master's degree from Columbia. She's not getting paid. She's not getting paid.
And
she's been working in the field too. I mean, what's not even really working with her. She was writing. She was doing some writing. She wasn't doing radio. But her degree is in communication. Her degree is in broadcasting. I think her whatever you call it.
You know what I'm saying? Like you pay the same amount, you know what I'm saying, as everybody else whenever you go to school for your degree, but every degree isn't created equal. You know, like if you go and get a broadcasting degree or a journalism degree or a communications degree or a theater degree or something like that, it's nice that you got it, but you can still be very good at what you do without it versus you go and get an engineering degree or a mathematics degree or a stats degree, then you kind of need those classes in order to learn this complicated material.
Mm-hmm.
Right. If you have something specific to learn. You know, I don't want to, like, demonize college either. I loved my college experience as far as I studied sociology because I enjoyed it. And I'm pretty much obsessed with sociology. Anybody who knows me knows I'm pretty obsessed with it. I even read sociology blogs for no reason. Like, they're my professors. For fun. That's what I do for fun. Most of the books I own are books that were in the bibliography of all the books from my sociology classes. That's how obsessed I am with sociology. And I loved it. It taught me how to critically think, taught me how to see the world a different way, how to look at things from a macro level, identify patterns, things like that. So I developed a lot of skills from being in school, and I think those skills will help me in transition into everything. I mean, that's why I do talk radio.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's why this type of show I do, because this is my – that's why I have all these statistics. I mean, Bruce, you see the rundown. Tell them how much shit I got on here.
Man, it's like a book. I didn't even realize it. I thought I was done, and then there was like three more pages.
He's not lying. He's not even
I'm a statistician, and so it's like pretty much I had, if I wanted to do what I wanted to do, then I pretty much had to go to school, you know what I'm saying? So I don't encourage people not to go to school. It's like if you want to do something that you have to go to school for, then I said go to school, but you need to know that you want to do it before you go to school, not just kind of searching and finding your way, you know what I'm saying? Because you can't decide your junior year that you want to go to med school, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just not going to work for you.
Exactly.
Well, you can't.
Like you said.
More. I'm sorry. Oh, I was just saying you're going to add more. Couldn't agree more. Time. Yeah.
But you know what, you guys? I feel kind of, when you guys hold up, I feel kind of bad. I totally forgot to unmute Curtis. And Curtis is so sweet. He's still on the line. Thank you, Curtis.
Oh, no, you good. I was just listening. Y'all had some good flow going on. I was commenting on the
in the chat room. And, yeah, I actually looked at the chat room because and I saw you in there. And I was like, oh, shit, I got to probably unmute him. But did you want to jump in or anything? Or you were cool with just listening?
The biggest thing that you have to realize is people have an emotional connotation attached to higher education that gets them in trouble. College is an investment, nothing more, and it's based on a credit system. It's nothing really that you can – the vast majority of things you learn in college is nothing that you can't teach yourself to learn for free. But the difference is, am I to take your word for it that you know these things? It's you basically paying for a vouch. That's essentially what you're paying for. And you have to realize that college is a business. They will sell you any degree that you want regardless of whether that you pay for, regardless of whether you get a job for it, because the customer is always right, even if that customer is delusional.
Yeah.
You have to go into it with your eyes wide open and understand that this is a business and that you are here to make money. You're not here, all that education and knowledge stuff is cool. If you just want to learn, go to a library. But when you're paying money, it's an investment.
Real talk.
Right.
All that, go to college and find yourself. It's like, no, you're there to get a job. That's the sole purpose of supposed to be the sole purpose of going to college, is so you can get your education so you can become employed.
But this is the thing, though. Sometimes, and Claudia is kind of an example of that. She went and she found things that she liked, that she was interested in, that she felt passionate about or driven to be a part of, and then she can, you know, because it's a different time. It's not like you can go get a job, like, you know, you just go to school, learn some shit, and there's a job waiting for you. You kind of do have to create your own lane. You're not representative
Reese,
of everybody. I mean, that's great.
Reese,
you know,
what year I worked
right out of college, too. I had a full-time job as soon as I walked out because I was working a full-time job while I was in it. I'm not saying obviously not every single solitary person has the same experience. But what I'm saying is that in this age, it's not going to be unusual what that is going to be the other option. How about I figure out what I like, what I'm passionate about, and make that work for me?
But like Reese,
you don't have to pay $50,000 to figure out what you like, though.
Yeah, but the thing is, you have to combine what Reese and what Curtis said, because what Curtis said basically is that college is a business, and they'll sell you whatever degree that they want. And then like Reese said, he said, you know, you're paying the same amount basically for that degree, no matter what the degree's in. So while he got his degree and it led directly to a job, a lot of people are getting degrees in journalism and they're not getting paid. So
I think, can people hear me? Am I on mute?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, we can hear you.
I'm on. Oh, okay. Oh, I think, okay, I was not told all that shit, like, when I was, not that what you're saying is shit, but, like, I wasn't told those messages when I came to college. Like, what I was told was that, especially because I'm going to, like, a private university right now, what I was told was that, and I think it made sense to me at the time, I think it probably still makes sense right now to me, is that people are hiring me. Like, there is not, like, corporations and businesses are hiring me, but people are hiring me, so connections are really important. And what I was told was that coming to college and making those connections was important. Like, I had a grad school student who came from, like, a a public university talked to me about kind of like the benefits of coming to Syracuse, which is that it was a smaller campus where resources were more easily accessible. So it was a way to weave you in into making connections. So now,
yeah.
like, and not only that, like, it's like, I don't even have, like, I don't even work that many official hours on work study. So on the side, I'm doing, like, all this. I used to do sex work, and I'll be frank about that because I thought it was a really good source of income for me when I was, like, younger, which wasn't, I mean, too long ago, but then I started getting to, like, escort work, and that was really good money. But then – and then we're also not, like, we keep – I noticed that even in the chat room, too. Like, we keep talking about communications as just, like, a general major. And usually for a lot of schools that, like, are specialized in communication, that's not the case. Like, I'm specifically in communications or rhetorical studies, and I chose it because I would be able to focus on interpersonal communication. So it wasn't just focusing on math communication or producing. So I think that really helps supplement – how I was doing escort work, because I could organize and I could figure out contracts and I could negotiate with people a lot better, and then I could make those connections that are getting me the jobs. And I think, like, and then, I mean, it definitely, and I think it really depends on the school, especially, like, in terms of you're paying for the same degree, but what does your department offer you? For instance, my department, next week, they funded, like, a really, really nice trip. Like, they're flying a bunch of, like, a group of, like, 15 to 20 students, I think, out to New York City for free to, like, meet and network with a bunch of alumni. And there's all these, like, fancy-ass, like, luncheons and shit, and, like, you know, all of it's free, and it's like, provided by the department, you know what I mean? So I know a lot of schools
yeah.
who don't get those opportunities, like a lot of students who don't get those opportunities because their school is too big or something. But I also realize that I'm paying like a shit ton of money just to go here. And I'll probably end up paying it back, and I probably will give back to my department because they did give me all those opportunities and shit. But it's just like I think that like we also shouldn't discount the ways that those institutions
so you're saying
and the
that
people
there are
who
other
work
avenues. So you're saying that there's other benefits to going to college outside of you know, you're just going to get a
yeah,
degree.
And networking's huge.
So,
At the same time, the world isn't fair. So what works for you may not work for everybody because, I'm saying, like, I remember when I was on my job search, I was friends with a lot of women and a lot of good-looking women. And what I know is good-looking women have an advantage when it comes to getting a job.
Certain
you know
jobs.
Yes.
Certain skills.
Yeah.
Certain jobs.
You know what I'm saying?
Depending on who's hiring.
Yes, certain.
Yeah, but in general, you know what I'm saying? In general, beautiful women have a leg up because I always say, think to yourself, when have you ever seen just a broke-ass, unemployed, a broke-ass, qualified, beautiful woman unemployed. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just don't see it. I mean, beautiful women that's qualified get employed. You know what I'm saying? So,
I mean, that's
so,
beautiful people in general.
I don't.
That's handsome people in general.
Yeah. And, I mean, there are a ton of studies that prove that if you're a more attractive person or good-looking, not overweight, you know, you fit into a certain aesthetic. You look white. All those factors.
That's
just
part of patriarchy, though, to be honest with you, because
that's
here's the thing.
Part of
it's economic.
It is.
I mean, it is, because a woman, here's the thing. A woman got everything she needs to make money in this world by the time she's 14 years old. Let's be frank about that. A man, it takes at least 20 years before he can make a living for himself. That's just a fact of the world that you so if a woman is faced
about?
With good looks and attractiveness, no, he was saying that if a woman is attractive and things of that nature, it's easier in general because there's a low investment cost and that people pay a premium for that. You see what I'm saying? But that's a part of patriarchy. The
yeah.
reason why a woman
yeah, because,
gets an easier job, that's you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but women's salaries across the board are lower than men's. You know, so I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Not in the STEM films, it isn't.
I think women get paid about equal. It's just when it comes to those top executive type of positions.
No, if you look at studies, women's salaries are significantly lower than men across
but
the board.
But salaries in what sector?
That's not true.
You're just saying studies and across the board. I'm talking about specific.
In general,
specific sectors. Yeah, the average is down, but when you compare this Walmart manager to this Walmart manager, they're probably making about the same, whether it's a man or a woman.
If you adjust the age and marital status and career, the gap goes away. Especially in the STEM, in the higher paying field, it goes away.
Wait, you're saying,
women tend to make different choices than men. Yeah,
wait a minute.
It goes away.
I feel like there's a lot of factors. Like, it's hard to make that just a blanketed statement like that on any part because there are so many factors and so many ways that those numbers can change. For example, in fields that in most of the fields that majority of women are in are lower paying jobs. If a lot of women, for example, social service, majority women, low paying jobs. Teaching, one of the lower, you know, it's not. And depending on where the city you're in, it's a low-paying job.
Yeah. But
you know, so
in the black community,
in fields, so what? Let me break it down even more. If you break it down by race, it's different. White women make a lot more than black men. So I'm just saying, there are ways.
Yeah, on average,
So what I'm saying is that there are a lot, you can't make a blanketed just statement. There's so many ways. I mean, things change. It depends
but what
on
he's
how,
saying
what
is true,
and
though,
and
but it's misleading.
Yeah,
so if you take the whole aggregate, it's true what he's saying. It's like 77 cents on a – but like what Vita was saying, you have to break that metric down into categories. So like I said, when you adjust the age, when you adjust the marital status, career choice, all of these, you get completely different numbers. Even if you adjust the –
but you – I mean,
because
that,
in Washington,
that's my,
D.C.,
that's my problem,
women make 98
though.
Cents
like
for every
at,
dollar
looking
a man
at
makes
gender,
in Washington.
Looking at the gender pay – but that's the thing, though. Looking at solely the gender pay gap to me does not give you a bigger – does not give you the real picture of what poverty looks like in low income. The fact of the matter is this. Single moms are the poorest. Black single moms are the poorest. So, I mean, I'm just saying, you have, there are so many things you have to look at. If you're a single mom and you have a working class job, your wealth, I can't think of the actual thing. I want to say it's your wealth goes down. Like, you don't have as much money, basically.
In general, black women are generally better employed than black men.
They're better. There's a study that says even though we're maybe better employed, if I have the link to it, I can actually post this in the chat room, that even if we're better employed, we have more businesses, we're still the poorest. Even though we're still the poorest. We work, in fact, we're highly represented in the labor force, and we're still the poorest.
Because there's a ceiling on how high women are allowed to grow. Like, I mean, you guys can be better employed. That you guys can be better employed on the lower level, but if you're blocked, and then men are allowed to go on to super high levels where they make massive amounts of money. A hundred of you can't match one of them.
Men aren't allowed to ascend to these high levels. You see what I'm saying? Like, black men
aren't allowed to.
They are more so than women are.
Definitely less than white men, but I'm pretty sure more than black females.
Significantly.
Yeah,
more.
It is more than black females.
I mean,
that's going to change because black women get a larger share of the degrees. So women in general, the whole nature of gender pay gap over the next 30 years is projected to switch anyway just because of the economy, for one, and two, that women get larger and larger proportion
of degrees. But even if that's true, that be true for women of color? Even if that's true, that be
absolutely
true?
Yeah,
I doubt
women dominate the retail landscape. Like the normal average job, more women have those jobs than men. Like, you can walk into any bank.
70% of black males drop out of college.
It's one dude.
Way more to do.
It's one dude in the bank, and it's 25 females there. You know what I'm saying? So women typically get more. Lower to middle management type of positions. You know what I'm saying? Now, those upper management
that's
positions.
That's changing, though.
Yeah, I know. But typically, that's what has, like, pretty much the piece of the pie that's been carved out for black women is in largely lower management.
Scientists. Like, the higher-paying fields, women are severely underrepresented across all Like, I mean severely, like less than 10% type shit.
Yeah, but women don't want to be engineers. They want to be, you know, broadcasters and journalists.
That's a problem. And I think we should be encouraging
like
girls.
And you know why that is? Because we don't encourage girls to go into those fields. We encourage girls to be
exactly.
pretty and push bars and play with an easy bake oven. We don't have, most of the toys
exactly.
are engineering. Most engineering toys and toys that you build and things like that, those are boy toys. They're colors that are considered masculine. They don't have female characters or anything like that. Whereas, I mean, now there's
well,
this type of thing. Because of that, there are like these women who have come up with these toys that are opposite of that, like Lego sets for girls or something. But the point is, when we were coming up, it was very divided on what you were encouraged to do as a girl, what you were encouraged to do as a boy. In fact, that's when that whole thing came out, when they found that girls were discouraged, and even in classrooms, when they would raise their hand and answer a math question, they would go to a boy first, things like that.
Yeah, I mean,
so,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I know plenty.
Into going into those
you know
fields.
You know what I'm saying? I know plenty
okay.
of female engineers, but I went to Georgia Tech. You know what I'm saying? So,
okay.
Which is pretty much an engineering school. So every chick that was there was trying to be an engineer. You know what I mean?
Okay. Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? But
they
were
an extreme minority, though.
Yeah.
Right.
I know
that's
that.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Like. I'm trying to figure out what the point was. Like, definitely, like you said, you found a location where they all exist, and you're saying, well, I know a bunch of them. I'm trying to figure out what exactly the point.
Encouraging women to be engineers, it sounds good in theory, and it's not like there aren't programs out there that's pushing it.
It sounds good in theory.
Yes, it sounds
well,
good in
I'm an engineer by trade, like. I'm an engineer by trade. That's what I do for a living. So from my perspective, looking at the whole science in general, because my old lady's in medical school, right, and her three friends, they got a newspaper for all three of them. They're all black ladies getting into medical school together. So we're – I have a science-y household. The overwhelming majority of women want to help people. So the social services are dominated by women because that is – considered a feminine trait, but female engineers, and I'm a part of NSBE too, like I think what 4% of the degrees that are awarded every year in engineering, and women represent less than 5% of those degrees. But they're 50% of the population. That's horrendous. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So you know, exist. They're nowhere near as effective as they probably should be.
You know, there's the women like of all the patents filed in the U.S. Only 7% of them are filed by women. I think it's like 93% of all patents in the U.S. are filed by men. Isn't that crazy?
That's true.
But
I feel like men have a bigger entrepreneurial spirit than women do in general.
No.
Okay.
Because
can
women,
I get the topic? Is
in,
okay. Hold.
In
can
field,
I hold that real quick?
Let's let Claudia speak.
Yeah,
okay, can I just say, I think a lot of the times in spaces, and whether it's organizational or whether it's scientific, women get overshadowed, especially women of color. Like,
right.
I wonder, and I really, really do think this is a thing, if, like, a lot of the times men take credit for what women do. So, like, I wonder if all of these, like, men are, like, working with a bunch of, like, really smart women who are, like, working on these projects, and then they're like, oh, that's a really good patent. Let me go put that first. You know what I mean? Let me go put it in my name. Like, I also wonder if it's, like, who's really taking credit for all of this, like, all of the engineering that's happening, all of the breakthroughs?
It's men. It's not women. To be fair, looking at both sides, it's definitely not women. But I disagree with the fact that women don't have an entrepreneurial spirit.
I said men have a bigger entrepreneurial spirit.
No, hold on. I know that. I'm saying I don't think that. Anyway, I don't think that it's a difference. I don't think that it's a difference. It's not a difference in volume between what men and women have according to what the data is. But the things that are in most demand and usable by society, men tend to gravitate more. That's your cars. That's your bridges, that's your things of that nature. Because even today,
and why is that?
Free
range. This is my problem with
because
what you're
of socialization.
Saying, This is the problem with what I'm having with what you're saying. But you're talking about socialized things as though this is some type of natural occurrence. This is not a natural occurrence. That is a problem.
I didn't say it was.
Well, what I'm saying is that if you can't, this is the point, you can't act like this is a natural occurrence. This is not a natural occurrence. It's a socialized situation.
Who said that?
That's a problem. Girls are not encouraged to
socialization isn't natural by definition. Like, girls aren't encouraged to do things. That's the point that I'm making. Even today, like, women have free reign to choose whatever majors that they want to, and they're not choosing these things. And the reason why they're not is because they're not encouraged to. That's the whole point that I'm making.
Okay. I agree with
you. You know what I'm saying? Because women make up, I think as of today, women get 56% of all degrees awarded in the country, but yet still they've not found any patents. Look at Silicon Valley. How many of them are women owned? But how many women this year could have computer science but did not? You know what I'm saying? How many women could have made an app but didn't? You know what I'm saying? So there's a choice plays a huge factor in here.
I have some numbers, and this is specifically about black women. This is an article I posted in the chat room. It says here that this is about black women. They are also very entrepreneurial, starting businesses at 6 times the national average and representing the fastest growing segment of women owned businesses. Black women own more than 1 million firms.
Yeah. That's black women.
I feel like you're in the background going, amen, yeah. Okay. Black women own more than 1 million firms, employ 272,000 people other than themselves, and generate an estimated $44.9 billion in revenue. But even as they've been working harder on their educations and starting more businesses, black women aren't seeing higher returns. While women working full-time on average make 77% of what men make, black women make 64% of what white men make. In 2010,
that makes sense.
In 2010, single black women's median wealth or income and assets minus obligations was just $100, compared to single white women's $41,500. I believe that's what this says.
That makes perfect sense.
But hold on.
Almost half, talking about black women, almost half have had zero or negative wealth. Even though they participate in the workforce at elevated rates, they are stuck in low-paying work. They are more likely than any group in America to work for poverty-level wages, thereby making them the most likely of all Americans to be among the working poor. This is from the report. They also high unemployment rates with the 9.9% rate compared to 5.1% for white women. Just wanted to put those numbers out there for you guys.
Well,
that makes perfect sense.
Okay, for one, black women are a total different breed of women than white women and Asian women. You know what I'm saying?
What?
How so?
Breed?
What?
How so?
How so?
What?
Yeah, how so?
When you say, do you mean breed, or do you mean like their experiences are different? Because that's a different thing.
Yeah, their experiences are different, which drives them to do different things than every other one.
Okay, that's a total
different socialization.
They're a different breed. That's how I'm just letting you know.
Yes.
That's why you got the you didn't know this, but you got side eyed by a few of us. So
I was looking like, oh snap, what is he saying? Oh, but that's clear.
I'm not even gonna say nothing. If she chooses to say something, I'll let her. Go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so their experiences cause them to be more independent and more entrepreneurial than any other woman on the planet because of what black people in general have been through.
Yeah, but we don't have a monopoly on struggle. Let's just put that out there.
I know we don't have a monopoly on struggle, but our struggles aren't everybody else's struggles. I'll just say that.
Okay, I think that the issue we're having, I think it's your word choices confusing us.
The breed comment that kind of threw us off.
So maybe we're not understanding your. Maybe just your word choice is a little like we're like, huh?
It's hyperbole a lot.
I don't see any difference between black women and others. I only see that because black American culture is a subculture of American culture, larger trends that affect the populace as a whole affects us more strongly. Like, for example, all women are becoming more independent over time, but that has greater implications to people who are on the bottom of the economic totem pole because they need each other economically, for example, which is a major problem between the feminist movement. That was the main rift between feminism and feminism as a whole, for example, right? So with black women to open up all these businesses and things of that nature, the thing is the choice and what they're getting these businesses in, that has to change. That's the problem. Black women don't have any problem with workforce participation or anything like that starting business. They never have. That's never been true. But what they choose to get these businesses in, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
But that,
who started
I don't, is it,
where's
the
but that
is
goes
it,
back to socialization, though.
Right.
But that goes back
exactly.
to socialization, though, again. Like,
yeah,
it all goes back
true.
To socialization. Because it's what they're told they're supposed to do, what they're told they're supposed to represent, things of that nature. You know what I'm saying? It guides them
in ways. Because you're told to open up a hair salon. I mean, let's just keep it real.
Or a
clothing
store,
we're not encouraged to go invent some shit. We're told go become a nurse. That's a nurse, a teacher, and a hair salon.
LPN, not even a nurse.
Or go to beauty school. I'm just telling you.
Well, you're told to invent stuff. You're told to invent hair products. That's what you're told to invent because you're told to stay in your lane, and that's what you guys do because you either do that or you use the product so you can look pretty in front of a camera. That's what your body tells you.
Guys,
women,
you got to
keep marriage in it.
Yeah,
listen,
black women's
listen,
income
listen,
is lower.
I'm going to have to meet everybody. Hold on, guys. I'm running out of time. There's 4 minutes left in – yeah, there's 4 minutes left in the live broadcast. What's funny is I actually only planned to do this for like an hour and a half, but then y'all got all interesting and then y'all excited about. And I got to read. I got to read all this damn research I done did. I got half.
Wait.
There's 4 minutes left. Actually, it's 3 minutes now. And I want to give everyone. Everyone was so nice to participate, and everyone was, you know, I want to give everyone a chance, kind of. You know, say where people can find if they want to be found, or they can just give a shout out. You know, if you want to put your Facebook, your Twitter, give a shout out to your homies, whatever you want to do. You got about, you know, I'm gonna give you about 5 to 10 seconds to do that. So let's start off with Claudia. Claudia, you want to give a shout out or say something, close out?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook.com/TheClaudiaChen. I don't have a website, but shout out.
Facebook.com/Claudia Chen or the Claudia Chen?
The Claudia Chen.
I will laugh at you in your Facebook inbox. Steve, you wanna go ahead and
for sure.
Yeah, tell people we can find you. Shout out your nonprofit too. I love you guys.
Oh, thank you. Yes, Steve Vasquez. You can check me out on Facebook, facebook.com/steve.vasquez.jr. And Cooking with Gabby is our nonprofit. Check us out, cookingwithgabby.org, Gabby spelled with 2 B's. And I wanted to clear something up. The statistic I threw out about 7%, I'm sorry, it was actually 5.5% of patents. That's what women patent, 5.5% of commercialized.
So it's even less.
Yeah. So it's unfortunate. Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot just making it sadder. All right. I want to give Curtis a chance. Curtis, do you want to go ahead and say something where people can find you or give us 5 seconds of your last word?
Sure. You can find me by my name, Curtis Maples, like the syrup, M-A-P-L-E-S. I'm on LinkedIn. Connect with me. Let's network. And I'm on Twitter. And I use my name on Twitter, so you can find me that way. It's a good flow. I always love talking with you guys, things of that nature. And teach your daughters to be astronauts. Do me that one favor, and we cool.
Thanks, Curtis. Reese, real quick. I literally have, like, 3 seconds. Curtis took all your time.
I don't have anything. I don't have anything that I want to throw out.
All right. Bruce.
RealityIsReal.com. realitiesreal.com, realitiesreal radio on iTunes. Search that. We got the podcast. We're going to put the joint on the website today, and at BRILLYANCE on Twitter.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We're going out in the next 20 seconds, so let me make this quick. I'm going to give a special thanks to everyone who joined me today. Claudia and Steve, thank you for volunteering to share your personal stories with us.
Thank you. Big shout-out
to Kim. Thank you, Kim, the founder of Black Rethinkers Radio, and shout-out to Grand Unified Theory and Black Skeptics LA. Good night, everybody. Have a good one.
Good night.
Dear Mr. President, and every government official out there claiming democracy all around the world, this is for you. They say we live in an age where no racism exists, and people are treated fairly because we darken the president, but I don't see it. We lack freedom hanging on the prejudice, Bible thumping and fighting like the answer is an exodus, burning Quran, overfeeding Buddha, slapping Vishnu, praying to a god. You say God, I say which dude? It's a mixed crew, not disrespecting, trying to fix you. Fixated on an antiquated way of living, telling gays to get straight, stay oppressing all the women. When your mind is locked inside a cage, religion is a prison, and the world is like a prison full of colors that we live in. Who's the sinner? Sitting high upon a horse that's named division. Now you're beaten after death, now you're refusing to listen. My conclusion is I'm frustrated, struggling with your pain, cause the so-called civilized society is lame. So I'm asking everybody, where the hell is all the change? Tell me. No more war. We will live in free. Liberty for all. But it never came. No more war. We will live in free. Liberty for all. But it never came.
That will remain nameless. Faceless in the eye, the giant murder for capital, five bullets to rioters, lies speak for the people, supplying drugs to the mindless masses, disaster strike, while crime rates are rising in the inner cities, violence is a way of life, I pity them. Projects are a maze, full of mice, taking witty steps, hunting by the lions while they're blinded by the kitty's breath, living on the run, or you die, I say give me death. It's like a predatory game on the food chain, who do you claim, carnivore or a fruit stain? Everything's the same, from a gang to a terrorist, military game. Halliburton down to Merrill Lynch, Wall Street, think it's all sweet, check the stats in. We can lay down, take a closed mind and nap, or we can stand up, make a change, take some action, break the factions, down to fractions and half them, yeah. No more war. We will live in free. Liberty for all. But it never came. No more war. We will live in free. Liberty for all, but it never came.